here at the 2018 PSCU Member Forum in St. Louis, Missouri, with Mr. John Rossman. How are you, John?
Doing great. It's my first time to St. Louis. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. You are one of the speakers here today, and so what is your topic at hand?
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity. So I'm a former Amazon executive. I've written a couple of books about how Amazon approaches strategy, problem solving, how to work together, called the Amazon Way series. And so today I'm talking about customer obsession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the first Amazon leadership principle is about being customer obsessed. Mm-hmm. But the real question is, like, how do you operationalize that? Like, how do you make it real and create habits mm-hmm. that help create great customer obsession?
Right. So how do, yes. Okay, I don't want to steal your thunder, but give me a couple of takeaways.
There's a lot of ways. One of the ways Amazon does it is they have a voice of the customer program. So a voice of the customer program is typically a way for a company to bring forward an issue that's impacting customers, mm-hmm. but for some reason isn't gaining traction or isn't being solved internally. Yeah. And the key at Amazon, though, is very small group, voice of the customer, I mean, essentially think of it as a person. Nobody reports to this person, mm-hmm. but that program can put prioritized work on any team that it takes to solve this issue, okay. right? So it helps to cut across the organization, avoid bureaucracy, do something that's real that impacts mm-hmm. a customer today, mm-hmm. And gets people working cross-functionally versus in silos. So that's one way. I'd say, I think another really important way is around metrics. And every company does a pretty decent job on kind of operational metrics and financial metrics. But what so many people don't really focus on is building metrics that truly measure the customer experience. Mm-hmm. And that can be mm-hmm. both short steps of the customer experience as well as the bigger aspects of customer experience. Okay. And everybody thinks of, you know, customer experience is like, hey, when you're online or in the mobile app. But the customer experience is the entire lifetime engagement mm-hmm. process, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the key metrics at Amazon is a metric called the POP metric, which stands for the perfect order percentage.
Okay.
So, you know, I love the name, right? It's not the error order percentage, it's the perfect order percentage. Mm-hmm. So that's like what we're striving to. We'll never get there, mm-hmm. but that's...
Well, you're pretty close.
That's the objective, right? And that metric is comprised of five other metrics, like perfect shipments and perfect product and no customer contacts, mm-hmm. no warranties. And then each of those is broken into metrics. And so they've designed that customer experience of delivery and hitting the promise along a set of cascading metrics. They spend a lot of time both talking about what are the metrics we need to measure a customer experience, mm-hmm. as well as then reviewing those and turning those conversations from review of metrics into actions mm-hmm. driven from metrics mm-hmm. and how to get to the root cause. And that is the entire operational rhythm of Amazon is every week, day over day, you're getting together to review metrics to understand what happened, why, adding to your metrics, making sure they start with the customer experience mm-hmm. and then get into financial and operational and other things, but really make them into meetings of accountability where we hold each other accountable mm-hmm. to make progress relative to those. So those are a few of the things that Amazon does to really get at it. But it really is about, you know, that first and foremost, we are going to put the customer first, have deep empathy. We try to have data around that, be a customer, eat the dog food, like live the life. Mm-hmm. I think one of the other important notions from Amazon is resist or be careful of proxies, right? So a proxy is something that interprets something for you, right? Mm-hmm. It's proximal for it, right? And so what are proxies that represent the customer? Well, things like surveys or things like, you know, rolled up metrics, mm-hmm. even things like that. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're complementing your proxies with actually going out, talking to customers, being in the front line, work the mm-hmm. call center, deliver packages, mm-hmm. use the products. Make sure that you have a firsthand experience and not just rely on proxies to understand the customer experience.
Oh, I get it. there are so many correlations with credit unions in what you're talking about. You know, the customer experience, what we call the member experience. Not just, you know, hey, how was the online bill pay working, but the whole process, you know, from lending inception to closing, or I don't know, just, or, you know, remote deposit capture, all that type of stuff. So there's so many similarities what you're talking about. And I'm sure your audience today is going to really connect with what you're saying, because they're like, hey, we're doing the same thing that Amazon's doing.
That's right. And, you know, when you're a solutions company, your customer isn't just the end customer, but it's also the developer or the operator or the IT operations, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's important to have empathy and have customer obsession for those types of your customers, mm-hmm, also. And so you can apply these same moves for that I was talking about. You can apply those same moves for those other types of, you know, B2B
Indeed.
Customers, right?
Yep.
And it really does matter at the end of the day. That attention to detail and insight that only really being there can give you.
Yeah, indeed. There's only so much the data can give you. So
that's right.
Being there in person is equally as good, if not better. Hey, wrap up question here for you. So why is Amazon consistently innovative? How do they keep this? Because we're all kind of measuring up to this bar now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody is. And so they've created this experience that's second to none.
Well, that, and you know, Amazon is a conglomerate business today, right? If you think about the number of actual businesses that Amazon is in, you know, it's the retail business. The marketplace business, which is a business I launched and ran, is a separate business. It's an integrated experience, but a separate business.
Right.
There's AWS, which is the largest and market-dominant cloud computing company. There's,
yeah,
you know, there's the whole product side, Echo, Kindle.
Entertainment.
There's the content and entertainment business, right? It's a conglomerate business, right? And so there's no simple answer to, like, how do they go about this? But I would say it's really a couple of things. One is putting the customer first.
Which I was just thinking about, is it consumer driven?
Yeah. It's customer driven. And really, it's being willing to take that and say, we are going to invent on behalf of our customers. We are going to, it's a primarily a problem focused innovation mindset, which is the customer has a problem. Instead of, I have an idea or a technology, how am I going to apply it? It comes at it from the other way, which is, I understand my customer deeply. They have a problem, they have a need, they have a desire. How do I solve that? And then the Amazon calls out starting with the customer and working backwards. And then into how do you do it? What's the technology? What's the operations? What's the business model? All that comes after that. But it starts with a deep insight. And then I think it's maniacal focus on operational excellence. People, like, I think the innovation lens of Amazon gets a lot of great exposure, but the scale and the operational excellence of that organization, I think, goes understated. They were voted the number one supply chain company in the world, right?
I can imagine.
Like, that is not an accident. That comes from day over day, and not just like, hey, fix this, but it's about root cause analysis. And truly getting, you know, we used a tool called the 5 Whys, right? Which is like, well, why did that happen? And truly getting at the root cause issue, so that you don't just fix it once, you fix it for every one of those things going forward, right? That's the essence of root cause, and they do it exceptionally well. There, a lot of companies do that, and they've borrowed a lot of those tools and mindsets from others and incorporated them into their business. But I think it's kind of like that: start with the customer, solve real problems for customers, focus maniacally on operational excellence, and actually through that operational excellence, you get innovation ideas also. And I think that's a big part of their recipe. And then I'd say, you know, that it's wrapped in this wrapper of they bet long term. Like, they are not focused on immediate gratification or immediate business results, right? If it's a good idea, they're willing to hang around it a while and drive for adoption, get the customer experience right, let the market mature and grow into it, and so they're patient investors. And I think that so many companies, you know, this whole quarter over quarter mindset is real, and you can understand the pressure. But when you're talking about really innovating, you have to delay, you have to have this mindset of delayed gratification at times.
I agree.
So those are some of the things.
Well, I also see Amazon as this very bold company. They're not shy about, like you said, taking these leaps, you know? I mean, thinking about the whole drone program, yeah, you know, that you're,
the
while you were talking.
The thing they've always said is that we're willing to be misunderstood, right? And so they have a history of doing counterintuitive moves that the market doesn't understand. They oftentimes pan it, say it's irresponsible, you know, or unfeasible, but Amazon is making a bet on it. I mean, some early things like today that we just take as granted things, but at the time were both revolutionary and taken as irresponsible. So free everyday shipping. When that launched in 2000, oh my God, the bad press we got around that and the scoffing that everybody
as gave a consumer us. Sam, thank you.
Right. That is everyday expectation now, right?
Yeah.
Selling, I think the understated innovation of Amazon is selling used items next to new items. They were the first person to
love
do
that.
Completely
that.
Counterintuitive moves. None of search inside the book. Being able to actually read a book before you buy. None of the publishers wanted to do this. We convinced the publishers that if a customer actually trusts what they're buying more, over the lifetime of that customer, they're going to buy more from you. Yep. Counterintuitive move. We convinced them with data and experimentation that that actually works. So I think that's the real story of innovation around it. I think the drones, again, get a lot of good media and all that. But it's these subtle things that remove friction and really solve a customer problem that are oftentimes goes against common business practices and the traditions of our industry that where real bold innovation takes place.
And yet it's really interesting that Amazon is now opening up brick and mortar stores.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like totally reversed of what their original mission was.
And it's one of the reasons I bet long on Amazon is because they are willing to rethink their prior positions based on what is in front of us, not what's behind us. What's in front of us. And being trapped by your prior positions, by your prior beliefs, by your heritage, being trapped by the things that were successful for you in the past, that can often be the thing that limits you going forward. And so that was the right mindset for the first, call it 20 plus years of Amazon. But what we started to see was we have the scale of the business. We have to continue to solve many ways to solve this last mile delivery, and customers coming to us was one aspect of that. Customer discovery, there are product lines and things that customers want to touch and feel. And so they're exploring that in small ways and now with Whole Foods in some bigger ways, right? But the under the waterline message there, the thing that everybody should learn is, be willing to rethink the assumptions, that your core beliefs, you have to actively work to disconfirm those. Don't work to confirm your beliefs, work to disconfirm your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Great message to end on. John, thank you so much.
Cool. Right on.
Well
thank
done,
you.
Man. Well done. Yeah. Your audience is in for a treat today.